listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/lafevercfc. We hope you enjoy this week's message. The other week when Paul was preaching, he was talking about how whenever he prepares a sermon that he has to think of all of these clever illustrations to make his sermon a little bit more interesting. And so this week as I was preparing my sermon, I realised that I don't even have to think of an illustration because I can guarantee that I've got a crazy story from the week that I've had. And so this story that I'll start with today happened last weekend. And so most of you here know that we're building a new house. And so some of us are living on the building site and we've had a lot of issues with people breaking in and stealing stuff. And so last Saturday morning, I woke up and realized that we'd had more stuff stolen. And so I called the police, who were very familiar with me, and they were coming over. So I thought I better wait outside for them. So I sat outside waiting for them to come. And as I was sitting there, I looked up and I saw this massive black crow just like perched on the fence. And I was a little bit freaked out, firstly, because I've never seen a black crow in my backyard ever. Secondly, I don't particularly like birds, particularly birds with beaks, which is most birds. And thirdly, because some people think that black crows have some sort of weird, dark omen about them, right? They're a bad omen. If you see a black crow, it's like a bad omen. And so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, Tara, it's just a bird. You know, I'm telling myself it's just a bird, it's just a bird. And then I'm thinking about how there's lots of other birds around and how, you know, when we have seagulls come and, you know, steal our chips, we don't think there's any prophetic significance behind that. It's just a bird. And then all of a sudden, I remember that many, many years ago, this is totally true, by the way, I wouldn't lie to you, that my parents actually had this white dove that lived in the backyard. And it lived there for, I don't know, a few months, maybe a year, but a white dove. And as I was reflecting on this, I was like, I don't know if it could have been a white dove. Do we have doves? Well, what it was like an albino, yeah, we do, like an albino pigeon or something. Anyway, it was pure white and it lived in my parents' backyard. And so every time we would see this like white dove, we'd be like, oh wow, it's just like, you know, the presence of God is just here. And it literally used to perch like right near where we would sit outside. Like it was honestly beautiful. And around that time, my mum actually got baptized and she got baptized in our family pool spontaneously one day when I decided to push her underwater. She really got baptized in the pool. And I remember that we were away at the time and Dad rang me and he just said, he goes, you know what? It was really amazing because that white dove was literally perched on the fence next to her as she was being baptized. I was like, that's amazing. And so here we've got this beautiful kind of symbolism of this white dove, but I'm sitting in my backyard and all I can see is this like really gross black crow. And the story gets a little bit weirder. Okay, so the police come and I'm almost like, I've been embarrassed to tell people this story because it's just so weird. But the police come, I have a chat with them and then I think, okay, I'll see them out the back gate because that's polite. So I walk them to the back gate and I'm like, what the heck is that on the ground in the dirt near the gate? And one of the police officers goes, oh, it's a steak. And I was like, on the ground, right next to the fence, is this big, massive raw steak, like a raw steak. And I'm just like, oh, like that's weird. I don't know how it got there. And the police officer's kind of looking at me. And I'm thinking, no, I really don't know how it got there because I don't even have a kitchen. So it's not from me. I'm like, did someone put it there? I don't know. And then I say this out loud. I go, oh, it was the crow. The crow brought it in. And so the police officer just kind of looks at me. He's like, okay, see ya. We'll be off. But then I was like, oh, the crow must have brought it in. Well, it turns out that I don't think that actually happened. Anyway, the point is that this steak on the ground reminded me of the fact that nobody likes crows because they eat dead things. That's why people don't like crows. That's why we don't trust crows, because they eat dead things. Usually if you see crows, right, they're on the side of a country road and they're eating like the carcass of like a kangaroo or something like that, right? That's what crows do. That's why we call it a murder of crows, because if you see them all eating a dead kangaroo, you know, you think, oh my goodness, they're like butchering it, but they're just opportunistic. Like they didn't actually murder the kangaroo. But this is why nobody likes crows. So I'm thinking about this crow and I'm thinking about this white dove. And I'm thinking about how all creation reveals the glory of God, because it does. And so it's really obvious to see how the white dove reveals the glory of God. And so I'm thinking about the black crow. I'm also thinking about cockroaches, because that was always one where I was like, how do cockroaches reveal the glory of God? But then I was thinking about the black crow, and I was thinking, well, hang on a minute. It's all part of the same story. So stay with me, but I don't honestly believe that that black crow had any prophetic significance, but I do think it has some very powerful symbolic kind of significance, right? This picture of this kind of evil and dark black crow and this beautiful, peaceful white dove, right? There's some interesting and very powerful symbolism behind it. And so I'm thinking about this crow. I know that's a really horrible picture. I'm thinking about the crow, and I'm thinking, so the symbolism of this crow is that it represents this fallen world that we live in. So we live in this world. We've got this reminder every day when we see it, you know, if we see a crow, there's a reminder that we live in a fallen world, right? There's a reminder that there's death. It's a reminder there's destruction, that there's sin, that there's sickness, that there's all of these terrible things. Like, we see that. But it's a really important part of the story, because unless we understand the significance of the black crow, we don't really understand why the dove's important. And so understanding the crow is a really, really important part of the whole story. And so John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." I must have typed this. "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And that scripture was telling us that Jesus was there from the beginning, right? He was there from the beginning because, you know, even though God the Father was completely grieved when Adam and Eve decided to eat the fruit that they were told not to eat, you know, even though he was grieved, he wasn't particularly surprised. And so there was a plan from the very, very beginning. There was a rescue plan. You know, God knew. He knew that there was, this black crow was lurking and looming kind of on the fence there. He knew. And so he came up with a plan. And he had an action plan, a rescue plan, a redemption plan. And so the Old Testament, oh my goodness, I can't read that from here. I can read it from here. The Old Testament, it's all good. That's fine. The Old Testament points us to Jesus. And so the entire Old Testament, so we look from that scripture, we said in the beginning, so we go back to the beginning, we go back to Genesis, the entire Old Testament points us towards Jesus. And so we've got all of these Old Testament prophets, and here's an example of the Old Testament prophets is Isaiah. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And then, you know, Isaiah 53, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And so the entire Old Testament, including the Old Testament prophets, is pointing us towards Jesus. It all leads to Jesus. It's kind of the point. We have to understand the presence of the black crow. We have to understand what that means in order to understand why we even need a Savior to begin with, why we even need Jesus. So Jesus comes and he fulfills the prophecy of the Old Testament, right? He comes to fulfill the prophecy, and it says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So that's why Jesus came. He came as the answer to the black crow issue. But Jesus was also a prophet, okay? So Jesus is not just a prophet, he is also the prophet. And what is a prophet? Well, it's someone who sees, it's someone who knows, and it's someone who comes and speaks on behalf of the Father. And so it says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work." So that's Jesus, that's the prophecy, okay? That's the prophetic at work in Jesus. It's the Father. And so we think about how Jesus went about and engaged with people. And I want to talk about Jesus the prophet and how Jesus engaged with people as the prophet. And so the woman in the well, so we've got the woman in the well, and I know that someone talked about this the other week, I can't remember who it was. But Jesus goes and sees this woman at the well, and this woman's drawing water in the middle of the day. And now, that was weird because it's hot in the middle of the day. The only reason why she'd be drawing water in the middle of the day is if she was some sort of outcast, right? So Jesus goes and he starts up this interaction with her. He starts a conversation with her, and he's talking about the living water. And then as part of the conversation, he says to her, okay, so go and get your husband. And she says, oh, well, I have no husband. And then he says, well, I know that you don't have a husband. And this interaction, often when we've read this before, we've thought to ourselves, oh, Jesus is kind of like in that moment, like, yeah, well, yeah, the man you're living with now is not your husband. It's almost like he's like, gotcha, see, I know all about this, you know, I know you. That's not Jesus' heart behind why he actually said that to the woman at the well. It wasn't a gotcha moment. He wasn't trying to condemn her. He wasn't trying to shame her. He wasn't trying to expose her. What he was trying to communicate as Jesus the prophet is, I see you. And I see that burden in your heart. I see that sin in your life. And I need you to know that that doesn't disqualify you from this living water. That's why Jesus was saying that to the woman of the well. It wasn't shaming. It wasn't condemning. It was because he knew that she may not understand that she was not disqualified because of that sin in her life. So he said, I see that sin, and the living water is for you. You're not disqualified because of that. The living water is for you. And then we have, you know, Zacchaeus. So we think about Jesus' interaction with Zacchaeus. And so nobody likes Zacchaeus, right? He's a tax collector. Did you know my dad was a tax collector? For 40 years, that was his job. He worked for the government, worst job ever. I think he still has a soul. No, he does. But we think about Zacchaeus and we think about how he was completely disliked. He was corrupt. He was greedy. Nobody likes him. And so Jesus sees him up in a tree, and I kind of liked this picture because when is Zacchaeus ever fat in any of these images? Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. It just painted a picture of someone who was possibly, potentially very greedy, right? It kind of paints a bit of a different picture. And so Jesus sees him up the tree because he's curious about Jesus and says, I'm going to come to your house. Why did Jesus pick Zacchaeus? Well, because he knew that Zacchaeus needed to know that Jesus knew about the sin in his life, but that that did not disqualify him from what he was offering him. That he wasn't disqualified from the living water. That was why Jesus was there. And he needed Zacchaeus to know that. And so, you know, when we think about sometimes we read the scriptures and we read them with our own bias, and then we start to have a look again and, you know, we allow the Holy Spirit, and then we can see something completely different in scriptures we've read like a million times, right? And so Zacchaeus was not disqualified from the grace and the mercy of Jesus. And then we have Peter, and I really like Peter. Okay, I really like Peter, and I think about how Peter... Well, this was around the time just before Jesus was about to go to the cross. Jesus actually sort of prophesies, Jesus the prophet prophesies and says to Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter's like, of course I'd never do that. Like, I would never do that, Lord. Like, I would never do that to you. Because, you know, as we read those scriptures, we kind of recognize that Peter's probably a little bit prideful. Okay, and as we read that, sometimes we think that the reason why Jesus spoke that over him was because Jesus was like, well, I need to take you down a peg or two. You know, you need to be humbled because I'm going to tell you that you're going to stuff this up. That wasn't Jesus' heart in why he said that and why he prophesied that over Peter. Do you know why he prophesied that over Peter? It's because he knew Peter. He knew Peter. He saw Peter. He understood Peter, and he understood Peter's weakness as well. And he knew that Peter needed to know that he loved him even though he was going to stuff it up. You know, he was saying to Peter, look, I need you to know that I love you. I know that I love you even though you're going to stuff this up. And even though you're going to stuff this up, I'm still going to choose you. I choose you. It was so important to Jesus that Peter knew and understood that. It wasn't a shaming of Peter. It wasn't a condemning of Peter. It wasn't a trying to, you know, take him down a peg or two. It was simply, I need you to know that I love you even though I know, because I'm the prophet, that you're actually going to stuff this up. And we know that Peter spent a lot of time with the disciples trying to work out who was the best, who was the most important, and who was the greatest. And so we know that that was actually something that Peter really, really wrestled with. And that was why it was so important that Jesus was able to say to him, hey, I know that you're going to stuff this up, but you need to know that I love you anyway. I love you anyway, and I still choose you, and on you I'll build my church. So the threat of that black crow is real, but so is Jesus. You know, Jesus came and he spoke into all of those people's lives, and he came and he knew that that black crow was on the shoulder of all of those. If we go back, you know, if you think about sin, particularly for the woman at the well, you know, we think about sin and think about it as the presence of the black crow, because, you know, when Jesus was talking and engaging with all of these people, he was able to separate the sin from the person. He was able to see a person that he loved, and sin was almost like a black crow. And he was able to say, I hate that stupid black crow on your shoulder. Like, I hate that crow, but I love you. You know, he was able to recognize that was the sin. And Jesus hates sin. You know, he hates sin. A perfect, holy God hates sin. But he loves us, and he was able to separate that. And in the way that he engaged with the people that I've just spoken about. Oops, I'll go back to that scripture. And so Jesus is the hope. So the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. You know, Jesus came as the answer to the black crow issue. And he came because he loves us, and he wanted to reconcile us back to the Father. So Jesus came to fulfill the prophecy that we see all through the Old Testament, and reconcile his people, which is us, back to himself. And he set us free, like those birds there. Like nice birds, not like the crow bird. But he's come to set us free. You know, he is the answer to the black crow issue. You know, and Jesus is the same hope for our friends and our family. Like, I can see who's all here today. And we know this. Like, this is not a message that we don't really understand. But, you know, see my editing, see how it looks like the crow's on her shoulder? It's pretty good. I did laugh when I did it, because I was like, I had no idea how to do that properly. It's all good. But Jesus is the hope, right? So we know this. We know that Jesus has already dealt with this issue of sin, with the fallen world that we live in, with the death and the destruction, that we are set free. Just like those, you know, birds flying in that other picture, we've been set free. We know that. But some of our friends and our families and our neighbours don't know that. You know, and I think about that really ugly black crow on my fence, and I just think it's lurking and it's looming for people, right? You know, it's there. And I think to myself, man, I hate that. Like, man, I hate how you know, there's an entanglement of sin for people. I hate the black crow that perches on people's shoulders. You know, I hate what sin does to people. I hate it. And so I want to be a bringer of the good news, because the good news is that Jesus came to deal with that issue. He's come to set us free. But I think, you know, sometimes we come into relationship with people and we don't come like Jesus came. You know, those examples that I gave were about how Jesus approached people that didn't understand him or didn't know him yet. And I think about the way that we approach people, and I think sometimes, you know, we don't separate the sin from the person. You know, we often look at people and go, oh, well, you've just made some really bad choices, you know. And we don't extend that same grace. We don't see that in the words of Jesus and in the way that Jesus interacted with people, but we often do that. We come with our judgment. You know, we don't separate. We don't see the bird on the shoulder. We kind of see the hole, and we kind of create these judgments. But Jesus didn't do that, and we're not called to do that either. You know, we're called to separate the sin from the person, see how much our loving Father loves these people, and to say, you know what? I see the sin. I see the crow on your shoulder, but Jesus has come as the answer to that. He's come to set you free from that. He's come to release you from that. And that is the good news. And so, you know, I want to be like Jesus in those examples. You know, I felt really challenged as I was preparing this. I just thought, well, how do I approach people? You know, and I think about people in our local community. I think about the people that stole my stuff. The second group of people that stole the stuff, because it was a different people that stole it the other times. And I thought to myself, well, I don't hate them. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, of course I don't hate them, but I hate what sin's done to them. You know, I hate that they feel like they don't have a choice but to take things that don't belong to them. You know, I hate that whatever has happened to them in their life has caused them to live in this way, but I hate the sin, not the person. And so, you know, how do I interact? Do I interact with people like Jesus? Do we interact with people in the same way that Jesus did? Or do we judge? You know, or do we say, you know, well, that man, you know, man's not even your husband. You know, is there a sense of gotcha about the way that we engage with people? Because Jesus didn't do that. You know, he came with love and mercy and grace to deal with the issue of the black crow because he loves. He loves us so deeply. And that would be the end of that. So I'm going to pray. Can I actually ask you to come back up and maybe do a song? But yeah, I just want to pray. So let's just pray together. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we just thank you so much for Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for the simplicity of this message that you came. Lord, that you came to set us free from the death and the destruction and the everything that is kind of symbolic in this black, disgusting, gross crow, Lord. You came to deal with that issue, Lord. And I just thank you that we have been set free as we sit here and we know you and we have that relationship with you, Lord, that we have been set free. But Lord, there's not everyone has been set free. There are people walking around everywhere with a black crow on their shoulder, and we know the answer. We know how they can be set free from that. And so, Lord, I pray that you just take our stories, you take our words, that we can be like Jesus the prophet, that we can be like the one who sees, that we can see into the deepest parts of who people are, so that we have the right words to share at the time in the same way that you did, Jesus. In the same way that you knew exactly what you needed to say in order to draw people's hearts and minds towards you and to what the message was that you were saying. Lord, I just pray that you use us. Use us to share the good news. Use us to bring people into relationship with you. And Lord, help us to see people the way that you see them. So that when we go, we don't go judging, we don't go shaming, we don't go condemning, but we go with your love and your grace and your mercy. And that through that, people will see you in the way that we speak to them and in the way that we love them. Lord, help us to love like you love. With a perfect love, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Jesus, that you are good, that we have been set free from that black crow. Lord, use us to set others free. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.